Amen. We're standing to introduce John, who really don't need no introduction. He's been part of us. He's been with us. Amen. Thank God for him, his family. Thank God for his wife, Lori, being with us today. And he will be the preacher for today. We thank God for him. He comes from Jacobstown Baptist Church in Jacobstown, New Jersey. And I just want to let him know, John, we love you, bro. Amen. And he's been a blessing to us. He's been especially been a blessing to the men. And I'm telling you, I thank God he has a way, John has a way of bringing the word just home to our hearts, to our everyday lives, to making it applicable to our lives. And we thank God he just had a son to get married. Right? Amen. And I try to get him to come and do a little, he can play that guitar, and he does worship. Try to get him to come, but I guess he's married now.
Yes.
He's got other things going on. His wife took him out of town? All right. So we'll get him next time. His name is Ethan, right? Yep. And so we thank God for him. The next voice that you will hear will be that other than Pastor John DeMarco after the choir. Amen. Pray for me. Jesus will fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whensoever you pray, I know Jesus.
furnace a long time ago. Step in the water, chill my body, but not my soul. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. After a while. Amen.
And sisters in Christ. One thing, my wife has got to be laughing to herself because she knows that I would never be asked to do anything like that in my church. I can't clap and sing at the same time. That just would not happen. This does have to happen, though. I saw it. You know, I've heard it said that prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. And I have to confess that I act like that sometimes. Sometimes I'm not praying enough. I act like prayer doesn't work. Other people say, well, if God knows everything I need, why do I need to pray? Other people say, well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of prayer? I hope to answer those three questions this morning. We're going to cover a lot of ground. I hope you buckle up. I appreciate that you're a responsive church, because you're going to have to say amen just to stay awake. So whether it's in the right spot or not, it doesn't matter what I'm saying. You just say amen just so I know that you're still out there and still awake. I usually preach with notes and with slides, and these aren't notes. This is just the word. Because I'm old, I have to make it bigger. And so I made the words bigger because I haven't gotten out there to get the. I'm still fighting it and thinking that I'm still young, and I haven't gotten the big print Bible. So I just print out the words bigger. And you're going to laugh at this because we're going to start back with Abraham. If you think about Abraham and God making calling Abraham and making a covenant with him and calling out his people coming into a relationship with him, it's all about faith. It's all, you look through the Old Testament, how do people in the Old Testament get saved? They got saved the same way Abraham got saved, same way you get saved. It's through faith. And so God started out calling his people and calling them by faith. And we can fast forward a little bit until Moses, and he's calling his man Moses. And Moses calls, leads the people out of Egypt and out of slavery and starts setting them up with the tabernacle, which is an amazing thing because it's a physical representation of God with them, God's presence in their midst. And you fast forward and you continue, that tabernacle changes into a temple. And the high point in the Old Testament, the absolutely high point, is Solomon dedicating his temple and the glory of the Lord coming down and filling it with smoke so that they couldn't even go in there. And it's just an amazing thing that God wants to be with his people and dwell in their midst. But back with Abraham, there were blessings and there were, if you obey, you're going to, if you don't obey, you're going to be, you know what? They didn't quite believe that. You know what? They kept saying, we got the temple. We got the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord. He'll never touch that. That's where he lives. That's where he dwells. We don't care. We can act and do, and they started following all the nations around them and even being worse than the nations around them and gathering all the foreign gods. Oh, they still went to temple. They still went there, but they had all this other stuff in their lives. And God sent them prophets and warned them and said, you better stop that. You better stop that. Did your dad ever tell you that? Anybody ever hear that? You better stop that? Time and time again, and they wouldn't listen. He sends the 10 northern tribes. Assyria comes down. He sends them into captivity. He's warning Judah and Benjamin. And he's warning them, you better stop. You see what I did to your sister? You see what I did to the other people, the other tribes? You better stop. You would think. Did you have brothers and sisters? And they got in trouble. If they got in trouble, you should. You should think. You should think about that and be warned. They weren't warned. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. God sends them into captivity. God promises to bring them back. Brings them back. Rebuild the temple. Not quite the same. Rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Not quite the same. There's 400 years of silence. They're not hearing from God. Then, you hear a little rustling of the leaves. You know, this priest goes into the temple, he comes out, he can't talk. Turns out his wife, they're old. Yet they have John the Baptist. Then you had another cousin, and you're hearing things. 400 years, you haven't heard from God. Things have been quiet. Leaves are rustling. Stuff's happening. These people are born, and it goes quiet. Quiet for 30 years. Then you have that John the Baptist. He's out, that crazy kid. He's out in the wilderness, and he's telling people to repent. Judgment's coming. And then they see Jesus baptized. Holy Spirit comes down. He goes, he's tempted, and he's starting to begin his ministry, and people are starting to follow Jesus. John was pointing to Jesus and setting the stage. And as we come into, and I'm going to do something very ambitious. It's something I probably couldn't pull off in my church. But you folks say amen, because you're going to stay awake. We're going to go through that whole sermon. And I need you to take your finger like this, get your Bible open, take your finger like this, because I'm going to be flying through and just pointing out some words and stuff like that. And you just kind of skim along, and we're going to cover the whole Sermon on the Mount. And it was Jesus' first sermon, his longest sermon, and it's pretty intense as we go through this. And just follow along, because in Matthew 5 and verse 1, he sees a multitude. He went up to the mountain, and when he sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, first word, first message, first sermon, first word, Jesus says, blessed. All right, if you ever wanted to look for something, if you ever wanted to see something and find something in God, these people, after not hearing anything from God, after not really, experiencing God's fullness, they're living under occupation. The Romans are oppressing them. They're in a bad place. They can't really do what they want. You want to talk? You think you're paying high taxes? Their taxes were whatever the person said those taxes were at that time. To go across a bridge, I got a little machine that charges me every time I go across the Burlington-Bristol Bridge. But what if you had somebody on the other side that said, yesterday it was $3, now it's $6. He's got a kid in college, so he's got a... First words out of his mouth, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Wow, powerful way. They're looking for a kingdom. They're looking for a physical kingdom. They're looking to get out from underneath Roman rule. They're looking for a king like David. They're physical leader in a physical kingdom, and he comes out with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay, they like the word kingdom, and they latched upon that, and the other two words they kind of just glossed over. They're really excited because we got a guy who this looks like he might be the Messiah, the deliverer. Deliver us from this oppression, from this taxation, from these lousy Romans that are ruling over us. And he comes out and he says, "Blessed are the poor." And he says, "Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they which hunger. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are the merciful." And he said, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And there's that word again, kingdom of heaven. And he's pointing them in a different direction, because his opening message is that there's something new coming. They don't quite know it, and it's going to take them a while, and it's not going to be fully developed. Even after his death, burial, and resurrection, he begins something called the church, and it's very unique, and he's prepping his people for this, and he's coming out in his message, and he's laying down some subtle clues. They probably wouldn't be, without the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be able to discern what's going on, but he's telling them that they're going to be blessed if they follow these things. And their reward, he says in verse 12, "When they're persecuted, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." They wanted their reward here and now. And he's pointing them to a future reward. And he tells them, "You're the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. And you're the salt. And you're supposed to be acting that way." And he goes, "Whoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men to do so, he shall call them the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do them and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Keeps repeating that phrase, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Pointing them in a different direction. It's not here and now. Verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no way, no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven." You're not getting in. You think just because you're Jewish, you think just because you've been following, just because you've been going to the temple, just because you've been doing the sacrifices, just because you've been obeying all those different laws, just because you don't eat pork, just because you wash your hands before the meals, just because you do all that, you don't work on Saturday, you don't do those things, just because. And he says, no. The guys that you are the highest, most religious, most righteous in your eyes, the scribes and the Pharisees, those people you look up to, if your righteousness doesn't exceed, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the leader's righteousness, the people who are supposed to be the top, the cream of the cream, up there, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that, you don't have a chance of even getting into this kingdom. And he's twisting their minds and getting them to think differently. And he goes through a bunch of things. And he says, "You have heard it said." He goes, "But I say to you." And so there's a few of those things. You've heard it said of them of old time, "Thou shalt not kill." He goes, "But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother." I mean, it's changing things. He's upsetting things. And he's saying, okay, well, first of all, you got a kingdom. They love that. And being blessed, they love that. And back then, they didn't have, you know, the pens and papers and writing things down. They had to memorize everything and remember everything. They were smart people back then. And they're remembering, and they're hearing, okay, I'm blessed. If I do this, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And kingdom of heaven, that's different. I like the kingdom part, but the kingdom of heaven, so that's different. And he's going through those things, and he's saying, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." And he goes, I say unto you, that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her, you know what? You've heard it. You've heard this, but I say to you, you've committed adultery in your heart. It's been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give him a writing of divorce. He goes, but I say unto you that whoever shall put away his life, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. Verse 33, again, you've heard that it's been said by them of old. He's not quoting scripture so much, but he's saying, you know, your teachers, these people, that your righteousness is supposed to exceed. He said, you're right. Again, you heard it said, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. He goes, but I say unto you, swear not at all, either by heaven or God's throne or by earth. You jump down to 37. Let your communication be yes and yes, yea and yea, and nay and nay. Whatever is more of this comes out, comes of evil. You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. Wow, different stuff. Verse 43, you've heard it said, that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He goes, but I say unto you to love your enemies and bless those that curse you and do good to them that hate you and to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those which love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans do the same? You know, those evil people out there, the tax collectors? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Don't even the publicans do so? They're tight with their own people. He says, verse 38, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then we start getting to our passages. Jesus is blowing their mind and their whole conception of what life and kingdom and reality is. And he's changing their whole focus from the here and now to the then and to the future and to what's going on in heaven. He says, take heed that you don't do your alms before men. Don't do this. So he's going to go into a bunch of don'ts and do's. Don't do it this way, but do it this way. Don't do it in front of men. And your alms is when you're given to, helping out the poor. And he's there, otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Don't do your alms before men to be seen of them. He goes, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, so don't do this, do this. Don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. But I say unto you, they have their reward. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is pointing out that there's a reward. He's pointing to them that the reward's in heaven, that the things that you do, that your righteousness has to exceed the scribes and Pharisees. When thou doest thine alms, don't let thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So you got don't do it this way, do it this way, don't sound the trumpet. Can you imagine back? These guys were so full of themselves, they would go to a corner, sound the trumpet, and that's when the poor people would know, this guy's going to give a handout. And you just see the people that could run, or wheel, or be carried, or whatever it was, they're heading towards a trumpet sound. What a messed up society that is, don't you think? And these guys are all proud, if you can think, in their best suits and best clothes, and they're out there, and they're letting everybody know how righteous and how wonderful they are and how generous they are to the poor. Look at me. I am, sound the trumpet, I'm going to be generous. So when my wife hears the trumpet, she knows I'm going to be generous to her. Give her that $10, she can go out to the thrift store, buy anything she wants. Better hold on to that 10. And this whole idea about there's do's and don'ts, and there's this whole idea about outside, inside. Look at it this in the next verses that are kind of the focus. When thou prayest, I should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But you, when thou doest your prayer, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I know it's been a long time. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. As the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard of their much speaking. And if you know anything about other religions or other cultures and their repetitious prayers, he goes, don't be like that. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask. So it's not a time of information. It's not a time of saying, Lord, you know these bills are due. You know what's coming down. They're coming. They're going to repossess my car. They're going to repossess my house. They're going to, that's not what prayer is. And he's saying, don't do it like the people that want to be seen. You go, don't do it like on the outside. You go on the inside. You go on to the inner room so people can't see. And, you know, when people can't see, God's going to reward you openly. And, you know, we automatically think that, you know, we're going to, you know, as the prayer of Jabez, that God's going to enlarge my borders, that he's going to bless me and I'm going to get, you know, financially blessed. God doesn't always pay in the same coinage. I didn't always get money, but I got a wonderful wife. I didn't always get money, but my kids, I had good relationship with them and an opportunity to be able to pour into them and watch my wife pour into their lives. And we were able to accomplish and do things. We were weird people. We homeschooled our kids. And my wife poured her life into those kids, and it shows. So anything that you see Ethan do, that's all my wife's doing. I mean, I showed up at night and I did some things, but when I tried to teach my kids, they ended up crying. So anyways, I left that stuff to my wife. We still got a couple more chapters. I need you to be with me out there. So, and he talks about this, the do's and don'ts, this inside prayer versus outside prayer. Don't be showy. Don't be doing it. Do it on the inside. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. I heard David Jeremiah explain, because that's hard to understand. He's saying, don't be like this. Don't be pulling out the money and saying, here's a 10, here's a 20, don't be counting. Just take the money out and give. Give generously. Don't say, well, I got to keep a little back, you know. I can only give you a 10 now. It's maybe the idea of reaching into your pocket and just giving. Don't be so stingy that you, I got to save some money for lunch. You know, it's the widow's mite. She gave everything. She gave up her living. And that's kind of the example in the idea of giving. So this whole idea of don't do this and do this. And he says, don't pray like them. Don't give like them. But after this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, wow, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. See, talking about kingdom of heaven, got this idea, God's kingdom, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now he's making a connection, kingdom of heaven will be done here on earth, and then it goes to us, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts. And you know the rest. If you jump down to 16, moreover, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites. So he's going on to the don'ts. He goes, but in 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head. Don't look like you're all beat up and emaciated and starved so people can see that, oh, you're so spiritual. You're fasting again, aren't you? Here, have a candy bar. You know, don't be like that. He says, he tells them what to do. But when you pray, you know, put that oil, slick back your hair so that people don't see that you're fasting. He says, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Things that are repeated are important. It's that outside-inside principle. Don't be doing it on the outside. Don't be showy. Don't be flashy. You'll get your reward. You want people to clap and praise for you? You'll get that. Just do it with your Father and your Father between you and him, and he'll see and he'll reward you openly. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Wow. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't do it this way. Do it this way. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Huge thing. The light of the body is the eye. Where you look and what you're looking at, what you gaze, whatever is coming up on, you know, they have the AI that can track you, and they watch what you are looking at and shopping for, and it keeps sending you more ads. And so they've made it, you know, they've made TikTok addictive. So whatever the kids are watching, they'll give them more of that. Oh, you like lions? You like tigers? You like, you know, whatever it is? They'll just keep sending you more of that. And the next thing you know, an hour and a half later, your kid's still on TikTok watching all these little reels. And it's just amazing. So the light of the body is the eye. Where you're looking at, what you gaze on, what you focus on. If your eye's good, your whole body's good. In verse 25, it says, therefore I say, don't take any thought for your life, what you shall eat. Now, this is what stopped me in my tracks, because I'm always asking my wife, what's for dinner? What are we having? What are you planning? And this is hard. I got rebuked this week as I was going through these things, and God says, you know, you spend too much time thinking about food. And it's just, that I can't tell if my stomach is actually hungry or grumbling, but it feels like that, and it feels like I should eat. I probably shouldn't be, but take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body or what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So don't do that. Don't do that. And if you jump down to the end of verse 30, it says all of this, you of little faith. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He goes, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He already knows. He already knows. He says, but, don't do it that way, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, your righteousness is supposed to exceed the scribes and Pharisees. Where are you supposed to get a righteousness that's greater than them? And it's from God. That's all. If you look in the book of Romans, that's where our righteousness comes from. As we're in Jesus and closed in him, it's not what we do. It's not how we can perform or give or speak or whatever. It's all about Jesus and what he's done on the cross. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And that was a big slap in the face for me. Therefore, take no thought of tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's powerful, especially in our day, and you don't know what's going to be happening in the Middle East. You don't know what's going to be happening with gas and oil prices. It's coming down. I can't understand why, but it's going to be going up. You just have that feeling with all the conflict in the world, stuff's going to get bad. Then he says, don't. 7 verse 1, don't judge, that you be not judged. Don't do that. Verse 7, do ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And we're all generous to our children, and when they come and ask for things, and you know, maybe not so much the children, but I tell you, grandchildren. My littlest grandchild is Zuri. Her nickname is Zuzu. And she said, I love you, Papa. And from that moment, I knew that girl was going to college. I don't know what I have to do. I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get you a car. And I said, no, maybe college would be better. My son, not so much, but that little grandchild. Wow. That was power. That broke my heart. Verse 12. Don't do these things. Don't judge. Do ask, and it will be given to you. Verse 12, therefore, all these things whatsoever you would have men do to you, do even unto them. The golden rule, you want something done, you do it to them first. You reach out. You minister. That's what I get excited about that Tuesday night, because that's what they're doing. You know, the people... You're doing this. If I were in their situation, I would want somebody coming out trying to rescue me. Somebody out there telling me and saying that there's a better way. That you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to feel like you're trapped. You can be set free and you can be delivered. Now Jesus doesn't do it always all at once. Sometimes we have to work at it. It's almost like dieting and losing weight. You could, sometimes you would think, Jesus, just take that appetite from me. He doesn't always do that. I've got to stop. I've got to stop making provision for the flesh. I went out to this local farm and I got these handmade donuts. They're apple cinnamon donuts, and they are fantastic. And my wife says, "You're the devil." As she opened up the bag and grabbed the donut out, and she said, as she's eating the donut, "You're making us fat." So what you want people to do, that going out, I would want somebody going out and speaking to me and reaching out to me. I would want somebody out there saying, stop, you don't have to live like that. And then he says in verse 15, he says, don't trust just anyone. Beware of false prophets. So this whole do's and don'ts, this inside, outside thing. Verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. If you drop down to 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, for it was not founded upon a rock. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doing them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. And that's how he's ending the sermon. That's how he's ending, and he's telling them, don't do this, do this. If you don't listen to what I've just said, you know what? You're a foolish man. And your house, everything that you're building and working for, is going to be destroyed and going to be washed away. And so now let's jump back to this whole idea about prayer. We're not supposed to be doing it on the outside. We're supposed to be going inside, and we're looking for that secret reward. Does prayer work? Yes, prayer does work. Prayer is all about not informing God about your needs and about your problems and about, you can tell him about your spouse. My spouse needs some help from time to time. And you can do that. I'm going to allow that because it fits in my message right now. And so you can say things like that. You people don't realize my wife's been putting up with 40 years of this thing. She's heard it all. She's seen it all. But when you pray, don't use those vain repetitions. Say, verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows the things that you have, what the needs that you have thereof, even before you ask. And he says, do it this way, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven. I was listening to one of my favorite preachers, Dr. Tony Evans, and he was talking about how, you know, you have Jesus, and he's saying, you go on the inside, and it's very different because he starts the prayer with our Father. So Jesus is saying, you and I, we're to pray to our Father. And it also connects you and I. That when you're praying about community. You're living in community. You're doing these things in community. You're giving your alms. You're doing unto others as you would have them do to you. You're praying for others. You're doing all these things. And first of all, you're recognizing your lineage. I looked up, my mom didn't know who her father was. I had the DNA test and all that stuff. And my father's name is an Italian name, but he's not that Italian. And so by the time it got watered down to me and my mom, I'm more Irish than I am Italian. Go figure. I still like pizza and pasta, but I also like corned beef and cabbage. I also like collard greens. I don't know what all that says. I don't know what to make of that, you know, when they test your DNA. But we have the privilege of stepping into God Almighty, the creator of the universe, and saying, our Father, and having that relationship. Is there anybody's house that you can just walk into? I can't walk into Randy's house. I mean, we love each other, and I know each other, but we're not at that level. I have one or two friends that I can just walk into their house. Typically, if they know I'm coming, They lock the door, so I don't tell them. I just show up, and I start walking in. I was at my, after Friday night, I was stopping at my friend's house. My son was there with their son hanging out, and I was on my way in, and my friend comes out, and she didn't know I was out there. And so she got, I was on my way in, and she was on her way out, and we scared each other. She screamed, I screamed. But they're the kind of friends I can just walk, I can walk into their house. And that's the way God has always wanted to live in his people, in the presence of his people, in their midst. He's different than any other God. He's the true and the living God. He's the God that when you speak and ask for something, things happen. And you could, that's what the Old Testament is about. If anybody, you ever want to read about what God's all about, read the Old Testament. 3/4 of your Bible is the Old Testament. Find out how God's been dealing with his people. And how God says, if you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you don't do that, you're going to be cursed. And he followed up on his word. It's powerful. Our Father. And then he gives a location, who art in heaven. And he tells us where he's at. Because it gets us away from us and our problems as we recognize who we're connected to and who our Father is and what's available to us. What? All his riches, our Father, everything that he has. My parents died, and I got a little bit of inheritance. And that was nice. You know, I was entitled to my portion. After I was, I'm number five. Do we have any babies here? Babies of the families? Aren't you special? You know you're more special than anyone else. The older ones, I know. I'm a baby. My wife's a baby of the family. Our baby, Aubrey, Ethan just moved out, and we've been enjoying being alone. Not having children, it's kind of nice. It's quiet. I don't like the quiet, but the quiet's kind of nice. And then our daughter calls up and says, hey, Mom and Dad, I miss you. Would you mind if I moved back home? And inside, my wife and I scream, no! So, we're going to have Aubrey, and she wants a dog, and so we're going to go back into all that stuff. And you think you're done with them, and they keep coming back. It's the gift that, and that's why I have to go into prayer and say, our Father, I don't understand this. I was really enjoying my life for this last, it's been 2 weeks now. If you could just give me another 2 weeks, maybe, before I have somebody else that I'm tripping over and bumping into, and I have to be spiritual. It gets tough. I mean, it's easy when it's just me and my wife. I mean, our house is set up as a duplex. She could live on one side and I could live on the other. It's almost the perfect situation. Let's get back to the Bible. Our Father, which art in heaven. We're able to call his name. We have that relationship. He's saying, you do all these things, you fit, you're part of the family. You can call when you pray. You talk about family right off the bat. And you got to remember whose you are and who you belong to, and remember your lineage, and it lets you know what's available to you. You know, what I could look around and I could see my father had a trucking business and he had grapes. And I spent most of the time on the farm and on the grapes, and it didn't seem like we were rich at all. But my father had a lot of stuff. And after he passed, it all went to my mom, and then after my mom passed, our kids broke it up and divvied it up, and we all got a little bit of a chunk, and my oldest brother is still able to run part of the farm and still have grapes in the name, which my mom wanted. It all worked out. I knew I wasn't going to be coming into life-changing money. I knew I wasn't going to be getting that kind of inheritance. We have that kind of inheritance here in Jesus. He created everything. He owns everything. He's going to give it to his son, and his son's going to be share it with us. We have such a huge and wonderful inheritance through our Father, which art in heaven. Now, what's interesting, if you jump over to chapter 7 and verse 21, in one of the don'ts, he says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." It's an amazing. They think they have a relationship. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." That works about, you know, praying and giving on the outside. We did all that stuff. We were in church. We were dressed right. We were speaking right. We were giving, you know, what they thought was right. We were doing all these things and praying right, praying so that other people could hear how right they were and how good they were. And then I will profess to them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you." The most damning words anyone here this morning, and I pray there are none here that will ever hear, but there's enough. There's some young people, maybe they haven't, maybe they're riding the fence, maybe they're coming because mom and dad are making them come, maybe they're here, maybe you've been coming and being religious. The most damning words you could ever hear in your life are, "I never knew you." When God says those words, "I never knew you," people have no idea. Why are we going out Tuesday night? I just said we. Why are we going out Tuesday nights? So that they don't hear those words. Judgment is coming. People forget that. They forget, you know, they say, "Oh, the God of the Old Testament, he's a God of judgment. God of the New Testament, he's a God of love." They obviously haven't read the book of Revelation. Revelation of Jesus and who he is. God's going to judge. He's not going to put up with this nonsense much longer. He's doing things and he's making things happen. And so we got to be telling people so that they never hear, "I never knew you." Wow, what horrible words. And what follows is, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." When people say good is bad and bad is good, I didn't think I'd ever see it in my lifetime. You know, it's good to be LGBTQ and all the other letters. It's bad to say what the Bible says. What a world, mixed up world we live in. But there's hope. There's a way. Make sure that your friends, make sure that your family never hear those condemning words. "I never knew you." Could you imagine something being so bad in a family, so bad in Randy's family or my family? You love your children, but can you imagine they do something so bad that you would say, "I never knew you. I never knew you." That's the opposite, the privilege we have of stepping into the presence of a righteous and holy God. Not because we can do it, not because we're holy and righteous. We're clothed in Jesus' righteousness, and because of Jesus, we can step in and call him Abba, Father. And we can step in and say, "Daddy, I need some things. I need some help. I need some nourishment. I need some spiritual life. I need to be able to do this right. I need some wisdom. I need to listen to your word. I hear sometimes, but I don't do, and it's hard." If you want to see somebody who's spiritual, you look at my wife. She's a better doer than I am. I can talk it better. I talk a better game. She's a better doer. She loves me when it's hard to love me. It's amazing. Want to know why? We've been married 40 years, and the only reason it's been is mostly because of her. Oh, I do some things every now and then just to, you know, pretend like I'm still in a relationship. But it's mostly her. And we have such a privilege to step into the Father's presence and say, "God, you live in me, and you want to hear from me. Our Father, which art in heaven." It puts life into perspective. Our Father. I have resources. Immense, heavenly, universal resources. to make things happen, to change, to be able to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, sanctified, set apart, be thy name. We've got to start our prayers realizing we always want to start with us on heaven. God, you know what I'm going through. You know those Jersey drivers. You know how they cut me off every time and make me angry. You know they shouldn't be doing that. Our Father, it changes everything. And when we begin our prayers and we start with our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, not my kingdom. I got stuff going on. I got needs. But we got to get our eyes and our perspective right when we start out. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And we should probably spend a lot of time just staying there and preaching and teaching and meditating and feasting just on that. But we can really be thankful for verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow. He does care about our daily needs. He does care about our spiritual needs. He does care about what we're feeling and what's going inside. He wants to commune with us in deeper ways than we can ever imagine. He wants to be involved in our lives, and that's what prayer is. We're inviting God each time into our lives and saying, Holy Spirit, come in, indwell me, fill me, take over my life, work in and through me, teach me, all these things, and bringing just in prayer, just the blessings and benefits we have of even being able to say, what if he just stopped, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, done. But he doesn't stop there. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. Amen. Wow. Forgiveness. I got to ask for forgiveness all the time. Isn't that right? My wife, my lovely wife, one time I spanked the wrong child. Somebody needs spanking. Something's going down. I don't know who's doing what foolishness and nonsense. And I had to go and apologize. And there's nothing like, a 3-4-year-old saying, That's okay, Daddy, I forgive you. Wow. God just spoke through that little voice and broke my heart. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wow. What a privilege we have to be able to call God our Father. And he beckons. He is calling to us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to open up our lives to him, to allow him into every part and aspect of our lives, even the X-rated stuff, even the bad stuff, the dark stuff, every part. There's not supposed to be any rooms that are closed off to his access. We're supposed to bring it out into the light, expose it to him, and say, Jesus, God, you know how selfish I am. You've got to change me. I can't change me. I try. Any of you try? Anybody try? Every young Christian needs to try. You need to get them to try. And you need to get them worn out until they get to the point where they say, I can't do this anymore. I can't live righteous. I can't be right. I've got to give it to you, God. And I've got to allow you to live in and through me. What a powerful prayer. If you just start If you start just with that and follow this example in prayer and keep your eyes focused on him, you will never hear those condemning and damning words, I never knew you. Wow. Had a funeral yesterday. A lot of people here. Probably some of them are going to hear those condemning words. That ought to motivate us. If you really care about people, if you really love your family, if you really love, you tell them about Jesus, about his life, his hope, what he can do for them in and through their lives so that they never have to experience eternal separation from God. I never knew you. Wow. That should light a fire underneath us. That should get us out. That should get us open and not be afraid at work. I got to admit, I'm afraid to say some things at work because we got all different types of people. And if I say anything about from the Bible, it's going to offend somebody. And so it's easier just to keep quiet. I've got to stop doing that. I've got to start speaking out. It's near the end. Clock's ticking down. It's fourth quarter. Things are getting bad out there. And Jesus is coming back soon. And so we've got work to do. We've got to get out of the pews, and we've got to get out on the streets, and we got to tell those people, and we got to start living this. I got to start living this. I've got to start showing my wife and loving her the way God wants me to love her. Not the way I want, the way God wants me to love her. I need to be that kind of leader. I need to be that kind of person in the home. I need to start doing those things for my... I need to start being a better worker. I need to start being a better co-worker. I need to start ministering into their lives and sharing with them what Jesus can do. Oh, you feel trapped and you feel, you know, abandoned and you feel whatever. Jesus is the answer. And we can give the people around us those things. It is so amazing. The Word of God is amazing. That he reached down and touched this church. That he reached down and brought Randy and I together. That he reached down and brought us together this morning. It's not by accident. God brought us together for a purpose. God wants us just to commune together, to experience a little portion, a little piece of heaven before we get there so that we can come out and tell people, you know what? I've tasted just a little bit of heaven at Community Baptist, and I want to tell you, we're not perfect, but we're trying to be through the strength and power of Jesus. We're not perfect, but we're going to try to reach out and minister to everyone who comes through these doors. We're not perfect, but that's what we're trying to do, trying to be people of God. We're trying to allow God into our lives, invade us, change us, make us into his image, not ours, into his image, so that we can be more and more like him, so that when we dial up and we call and we say, our Father, he doesn't say, who? I don't recognize this voice. I don't recognize this number. He's got caller ID. You know that? God's got caller ID. I don't recognize this number. Is this a sales call? And we can call in and have, wow. When you go home, you know what, that feeling of going home and just being with family and being comfortable? This afternoon, you go home and be with family and be comfortable, watch the game or something. It's just, wow. Can you imagine that? All the time. Being with God, the Father, all the time, at home. We've got to remember who our Father is. We've got to remember this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We're not living here. We're just renting. We're just staying here for a little bit. Our future, our hope, everything is in heaven. Our treasure is supposed to be there. We're supposed to be sending everything ahead, and we're supposed to be living as Jesus can come back at any time. Praise God. I love you people. I love being here. Thank you for being so responsive this morning. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. What an awesome God we serve. And we get to serve him together. Praise him. Praise him. You know what? If you stand, if you don't know Jesus Christ, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is your chance. You don't know what's going to happen after this. Some of us are older. We could step out and get hit by a car because we didn't look. or because we move slow, or we could have a heart attack. It doesn't matter. Young, old, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to do the old-fashioned way. You come forward. You talk to Pastor Randy. You come forward and say, I need to know more about Jesus. I've been playing. I haven't fully accepted. You come forward. Now's the time. God's calling and speaking to you this morning. Now is your chance to come and be delivered. Now is your chance to come to accept Jesus. Now is the chance to come and change your eternal destiny. Don't spend an eternity in hell burning with all those other people, all those other people who heard that verse, I never knew you. Be and join the family of God. Find out about God's love. Believe what the Word of God says about His death, burial, and resurrection. He loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. You believe in that, you become His child, and you can pray with us, Our Father. And you can enter into this community and be able to pray, Our Father. So don't hesitate. Come down as the music starts, as they sing. Just come down and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Is there one that would like to come to give your life to Jesus? Is there one? I don't want to hear them words. I never knew you. Is there one? Is there one that would like to rededicate their life to Jesus Christ? Maybe you're not where you need to be. You've strayed or you've drifted. That's the second call. Church home, you can also come at this time. Those that would like to come around for prayer, please come. We're going to close out with a word of prayer.